Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran this morning. It is good to be together. I hope that we don't have to dodge too many raindrops today, but it looks like we might regardless. So I hope you'll all stay dry. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. And so let us begin our worship with the order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all creation. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song is Amazed, and we sing together.
Open up my eyes to see all of you, your mysteries. I hold my breath, you hold my hand. That's heaven melts the heart of a man. How amazed I am. Your glory fills the sky, a great and
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right. And by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned nor hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the third chapter of Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to guard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. When he leased it to tenants, and then went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent out other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you like to be awakened by an alarm clock? Not many of us do, right? Whether it's one of those loud, obnoxious sounds or just a radio station. Whether it's placed right next to you on your bedstand or across the room, so you literally have to get out of bed to go turn it off. That was one thing I tried for a while. I'd have to get out of bed in order to turn off the alarm. That would mean I was less likely to... No, I just crawled right back in. All right. Right? There are people who use their cell phones as their alarm clocks, and there are other folks who have special alarms that begin with light and then like bird songs and all the rest of this stuff to sort of wake you up until finally it's been long enough and then it's just another loud, obnoxious sound trying to wake you up. Today in our gospel story, Jesus continues to be an alarm for his audience. Jesus is trying to wake up and to warn the disciples, the chief priests and elders especially, the leaders of the people, the people themselves who are just gathered around listening. Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. It's this last week in Jesus' life that we're reading about. And he's trying to impart to the people around him the truth of God's love for the lost and the left out, as well as God's love for all of those leaders and all of those ordinary people. You see, the foundation of Jesus' message and ministry is also the foundation of the commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Jesus has been going throughout his ministry, teaching, sharing, showing that God's love is for all. God's grace is for all. Jesus has been trying to teach that care for neighbors, inspired by that love of God, is how we are supposed to live as God's children. This has been Jesus' program throughout his ministry. And as he is nearing the end of this ministry, he is trying everything that he can, as often as he can, to get his point across to as many people. So in today's parable, Jesus tries to show that once again, the only ones who are left out at the end of the story are those who had been invited in at the very beginning. See, this parable of Jesus is one of the moments that we Lutherans speak of as law. When we talk about the fact that Scripture speaks to us through law and gospel. Now, when we Lutherans speak about law, we're not talking about rules to follow or instructions to memorize or things like that. Because like the people Jesus was speaking to today, we basically know how to behave or how we should, right? The law comes as those moments when God speaks to us words of accusation. Martin Luther and the Reformers often said it using the Latin phrase lex semper accusa. The law always accuses. Now, if you don't think that's the truth, how is it that you react to driving down the road when you see a police car? Your foot comes off that accelerator pedal. Even if you're driving the right speed, you're automatically looking, wondering, did I just get caught doing something? The law always accuses us. For Luther and the Reformers, there were also two uses for this law. First was to show us our guilt. The law accuses us and shows us that we're wrong and we're guilty. The second use of the law drives us to Christ. Knowing our culpability and our guilt, the law drives us to the grace and the peace that comes from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That second use of the law leads us to repentance, to confession, to walking once again with Jesus by our side. And here in this parable, Jesus is attempting to use both uses of the law. He wants his audience, including all of us, to know that God loves us, but that God loves us too much to let us keep making these same mistakes. Today's parable uses Isaiah's image of God's vineyard. Jesus' audience knew about that image. They enjoyed that image. God's loving devotion to God's people was something that made the chief priests and the leaders, it made them full of themselves. They had forgotten that at the end of that image in Isaiah, there is an accusation, one of wild grapes. Jesus uses this image both ways. He's using it to definitely show them the care and the devotion that God has, as well as the accusation of being wild grapes, especially the wild grapes he confronts this day. And so in Jesus' parable, a man plants a vineyard, puts up a fence, builds a wine press, builds a watchtower, rents out the vineyard, and then goes traveling. For the use of this story, for this image, this is God and God's people. All the devotion and care celebrated in Isaiah and this time, this care and growth is there, but now the care and the growth within that vineyard is left in the hand of tenants. Jesus is hoping that the leaders and the chief priests will see that he's talking about them. He's talking about their predecessors. These tenants are the ones who make sure that the fruits of the kingdom are plentiful, that care for widows and orphans, that love for neighbors is going all around. But you see, in the story, when harvest comes, the owner sends his servants to pick up his part of the fruit, and he gets none. They beat one, kill one, stone another. Then they kill the son. This is Jesus talking about the way the prophets have been treated, and then announcing once again his own death. This is speaking with the full power of the law in our Lutheran sense. This is Jesus accusing all of us. And this accusation stands before that audience, but they didn't recognize it. Jesus is showing us all our guilt. When we were supposed to return with fruits of the Spirit, fruits of the kingdom, when we were supposed to love and care and befriend, none of it happened. We have turned the goodness of God's love the goodness of God's grace into strictures and rules, into programs that exclude and in opportunities to look better than someone else. Jesus asks his audience then, what should happen to these tenants? And when they speak a destructive sentence, their verdict now rests on them. Jesus spends some time showing them very plainly and directly that that verdict is now pronounced on them. Jesus tells them, also telling us, that our lives are built on flimsy foundations, are built on accomplishments that we can codify and make up and use as little badges on our coats. But Jesus is also saying that the foundation that we rejected, that stone we rejected, is the cornerstone of a life lived as God's children. The chief priests and the leaders all think that their way of life is correct, and they want to try to force it into the forefront of many different people, even though in the story they're the wicked tenants. What Jesus is hoping is that they will wake up to the reality of love and care for widows and orphans, for the last, the lost, the left out, and the least among us all. Jesus has been showing to all who see him what a life lived with that kind of love and care looks like. That's why people flock to see Jesus. They want to be around him, just to be near him, because they all know that he cares, that he doesn't stand in judgment. Jesus wants us all to see that the life he lives is how we should live, and to use his life as an inspiration for us and as foundation for our lives. Jesus is calling us to build our lives on his example, living the love that God gives to each of us every day. Jesus does warn that the stone that the builders rejected can be dangerous to our self-centered way of living. There's this one sentence in this morning's gospel that just shakes me awake. The one who falls on it will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. This is a scary statement by Jesus. Until we remember that it's a statement of Jesus. Jesus is the one who emptied himself, who doesn't think too highly of himself, who cares for all. And if the foundations of his example breaks my selfishness into pieces, that's ultimately a good thing. If my self-centeredness is crushed by the weight of love that comes from Jesus Christ our Lord, that's ultimately a good thing. Because through the waters of baptism, we not only die with Christ, we rise with Christ to new life. What we are really afraid of in the end is about the way the world will look at us. What we are afraid to lose is the reputation that we acquire in a culture that somehow or another we are the ones who are powerful and potent. But what we have to gain living lives like Christ, what we have to gain building our lives on that foundation, is becoming a piece of God's kingdom and of being a child of God. If we are crushed in the love of Jesus, we return as a follower of Christ. We abide in him and he in us, and together we bear much fruit. For Paul today in Philippians, everything about his worldly reputation is counted as loss because he knows Jesus, because he is loved by Jesus and gets to share that love with others. It doesn't matter what the rest of his resume looks like. Jesus loves him and he gets to love. This is the lesson that Jesus hopes comes to his audience today. Unfortunately, in the end, what they want to do is arrest him. See, today, an alarm is ringing in my ear. Maybe it's loud and obnoxious and hard to listen to, but perhaps for others, it is comforting and soothing, waking us up to new possibilities. Jesus is taking this opportunity to speak plainly to all of us, to the chief priests and the elders, as well as the crowds and the disciples. Jesus wants us all to hear the possibilities available as we see the reality of our weakness and failures. Jesus wants us to come with him. He wants us to come to him and feel the gospel of God's love But Jesus also knows that now is a time to speak law to make that happen. The law speaks to all of us, reminding us to repent, to turn back to God's path of peace and love. The law leads us back into the loving arms of Jesus. The law stands as proof for us that God loves us, but God loves us too much to let us make the same kind of mistakes. May we all hear Jesus speak the law and realize that he stands there waiting for us with the full power of the gospel. Today, may we discover our calling as God's children and as followers of Christ as we share the gospel, the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, because that is what we get to do. Amen. Please rise as we join together in the prayers of the church. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, for the world, and all those in need. Holy God, you call us to work for peace and justice in your vineyard. Refresh the church with your life that we may bear fruit through work and service. Lord, in your mercy, thank you for the abundant harvest of the earth. Bless and care for those whose hands bring the fruits of the earth to the tables of all who hunger. May we be inspired by your servants who cared deeply for your creation. Lord, in your mercy, curb the impulses of greed and pride that lead us to take advantage of others. Grant that world leaders seek the fruits of the kingdom for the good and welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy, sustain all who suffer with the promise of new life. Assured of your presence, heal our pain and suffering, and increase and equip us to embrace all bodies aching for wholeness of mind, body, and soul. We call to mind those who are struggling today. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all managers in our community and for all who seek employment. Give hope and a future to those who lack meaningful work, those who have been marginalized or abused in the workplace, those who desire new opportunity. Lord, in your mercy, thank you for the saints who teach us to live faithfully in your vineyard. May our chorus join theirs until our labor is complete. Lord, in your mercy, listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
At this moment, we pause to give thanks to God, to add our gratitude to those of saints around the world. If you haven't yet had a chance to share your generosity, you may do so at the end of service. But we pause now as we join together in our offering prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world. Through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In him, you have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And even on a day like today, when Jesus speaks to us words of law, he also speaks to us words of love, as he looks out and says, I love you, I forgive you, supper's ready. Rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard, to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ, and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with a sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your